Back to that story that we were telling you about earlier in the programme, this is the government's new plans on immigration. In February 2021, the Minister for Integration, Roderick O'Gorman, published the White Paper to end direct provision and to establish a new international protection support service. That White Paper outlined plans to end direct provision and establish a new system for accommodation and supports for asylum seekers here. The original aim was to implement that White Paper on a phased basis from 2021. However, largely due to the COVID pandemic and then the war in Ukraine, that didn't happen. Later this morning, the minister will bring a new updated white paper to Cabinet, and our social affairs correspondent, Alva Keneally, has the details. Alva, tell us what this new white paper will outline.
Yeah, well, as listeners will be aware, the Department of Integration has been under huge pressure to come up with a plan to provide accommodation for asylum seekers. So what Minister O'Gorman is expected to announce today is a strategy to address the immediate crisis in international protection accommodation while undertaking a longer term system of reform. So this longer term reform, that would mean moving away from a total reliance on private providers towards a core of state-owned accommodation. Now, this is something that was, as you said, it was proposed in the White Paper on Ending Direct Provision that was published by the minister 3 years ago. Now, that paper suggested that 6 reception centres be built as integration and reception centres, which would see asylum seekers, they'd essentially pass through them while they're waiting decisions on applications. So my understanding is that the plan that will be announced today, it'll use those principles from the original White Paper on Ending Direct Provision in terms of longer reform. Now, when it comes to the immediate term, that's where they're talking about accommodation like modular units and unused offices.
What will it mean for asylum seekers who are living in tents?
We'll know more when the detail of the plan is announced. But in the immediate term, given the numbers that are arriving in, it's approximately around 3,000 a month. Like, it's not envisaged that tented accommodation is going to simply end overnight, or that the current strategy, the current emergency situation, for example, will end all of a sudden with Roderick O'Gorman's announcement today. It's likely that tented accommodation, maybe it'll be placed on state-owned sites for now until sheltered accommodation gets up and running. State-owned sites are expected to be used for modular units. And this is something NGOs had been calling for years because they can be erected so rapidly. And there's also a plan to convert unused offices into accommodation for international protection. Again, something that has been called for previously. But perhaps, you know, the department has a better idea today than it would have had 2 years ago or 3 years ago of how many offices are available to it with so many people working from home. Now, it's how quickly these can be turned around to see an end to tented accommodation. That's what we need more detail on today.
And for people who are still living in direct provision, what's it going to mean for them?
Well, despite the best will in the world and the work that went into that white paper on ending direct provision, you know, right now, an end to the direct provision centres, they're now called IPAS centres. That's unlikely. Now, the question really is, will the state buy these centres? Will they purchase them? If, as the department says, it wants to move away from a reliance on private providers, because those private providers, that's currently 96% reliance. That said, there are reports that people have been moving out of these IPAS centres or direct provision centres in recent months. We're told up to 150 per month. So presumably this could be freeing up spaces for others to move in while they await decisions on their applications. It is probably worth noting also that the Health Information and Quality Authority is now in those permanent IPAS centres, inspecting them for quality and safety under national standards. And this had been called for many years. HICWA doesn't regulate these centres, but inspectors are currently in there speaking to those who live in the centres, speaking to staff. And the first tranche of those inspection reports are expected to be published next month.
Alva, thank you. That's our social affairs correspondent, Alva Keneally.